We're in the opening paragraph here, at the beginning of the first chapter of the Piyasetz Nerebis Chovas HaTalmidim. And the focus this morning is going to be on just the first word. We'll read a couple lines, so we feel like we got somewhere in the Sefer, but we really got to talk about the first word. He's speaking to us, the students of the Sefer, the students of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the students of Torah. And the Rebbe says to us, Ashrecha. That's the key word for this paragraph, and he's going to come back to it. Ashrecha. Like Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha, David HaMelech says. So Ashrei and Osher, it means happiness, fulfillment, contentment, and it means a sense of good fortune. Person is mu'ushar, like in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, you say, ani mu'ushar. This person may mean, I'm happy. But you would say also, when it says, Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecha, it's not just that you're happy, you say, wow, how fortunate you are. So the Rebbe is telling us, and maybe what we should think about as we read these words, and we frame our week, which is why it's so great to get together early on a Sunday morning, you could frame your whole week, is a distinction which sometimes comes up in life that we want to think about, between something which is descriptive versus something which is prescriptive. It's a subtle distinction, but in life it's important. So let's say Chazal make a statement. You find things in the Gemara. You wonder sometimes, is that statement of Chazal, is it descriptive of the situation? Or is it prescriptive? Is it telling us what it ought to be? And so here too, when we think about what we're going to explore with the concept of Osher, it's okay to think about whether or not this is descriptive of how we actually feel, or maybe part of what the Rebbe is trying to encourage us is to be prescriptive and think about how we should feel. Think about what we want for ourselves in a question form. Ashrecha, fortunate, Nar Yisrael, the young person of the Jewish people, Va'ashrei chalkecha, and fortunate is your portion. Es haTorah or Hashem lilmod zachisa. You have been fortunate. You know, many of us, we went to a Jewish school, to a yeshiva. We had the chance to learn Torah. We're learning Torah right now. Fortunate are we that we learn Torah. We'll talk about this, Mirtz Hashem, next time. V'lios ben sha'ashuo ben rechumo alisa. We have elevated ourselves. We chose to get up early this morning and elevate ourselves to become, so to speak, we're friends with Hashem Yisbarach. We're having a conversation with Hashem. Not only that, Malachei Elyon, the angels, Yikanucha, they're jealous of us. The angels don't have Torah. They gave it to us. Their Boshom gave it to us. So we have it. They don't have it. So the angels look at us and say, ah, how awesome is these guys get to learn Torah? Af Yikirucha, they think that we're special. The Sarafei Kael, the fire angels, look at us. Alecha Yismu Va'oscha Yechabdu. They honor us. If we could see them, we don't see the metaphysical presence of the angels in the world. We come home Friday night, we say, Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Asharis. We welcome the angels in. The weekday angels, they leave. The Shabbos angels, they come home with us from Shul. We don't see them. But if we could see them, they'll be like, wow. You know, you make time, you have a chance, you learn Torah. Hashamayim, the heavens, utzvam ha'aretz umaloa, all of creation, alecha yismuchu v'lafanecha yikanu. You know, they had a tradition in Volozhin that the Pasuk says, im lo brisi yomam v'layla chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, if it would not be for my covenant, then the laws of nature, the heavens and the earth, God wouldn't put it there. So in Volozhin, they had a tradition that if people weren't learning Torah, at some place, in some location, at any given moment, the earth would cease to exist. Because the world only exists because Hashem wills it to exist at every moment. In Lobrisi, and they refer to that as Torah, the Bris of Torah. So they actually had, you know, we assume there are people learning all the time in different places. So somebody's learning. But in Volozhin, they actually had rotations. They had boys.
Pre-Lagwood.
Yes. They had boys who were learning in the middle of the night. So they had somebody in the Volozhin based Medrash all the time. Because the heavens and the earth, again, we don't see this with our physical eyes, but the heavens and the earth, the whole existence is looking at us when we have just a few minutes to learn Torah. Alecha yismachu, they're happy for us. Ulefanecha yikanu. And they look at each other. Ze el ze shoalim. The angels look at each other. They ask, Miu hanar, who is this young person? Who is this guy who's busy? He has a wife. He has children. He has a job. He has a lot of stuff he's got to do. Who is this young person? Asher amude ish kodesh mipiv misbarim. That when we learn Torah, there are flames of fire. Va'adon olamim, the Rabbono Shel Olam himself, Rom al kolkom, Ramim, the highest of the high, v'fnei amon tzvav, in front of his angels, v'rivvos kedosha, bo misbar v'ito sameach. Hashem is happy with us. So the angels look at this, they say, wow, who is this guy? He wakes up in the morning, puts on a pair of jeans, grabs a tzitzis and a t-shirt, he runs out, he's learning Torah, and the Rabbono Shel Olam is sitting with him. It's amazing. This is how the Rebbe frames the conversation. So in his mind, the angels and all of existence, they look at us and they say, wow, how amazing is it? How fortunate are you? So what I want to ask us to think about for ourselves is, do we view it the same way? When we hop a few minutes to learn, do we realize how significant that is? But even more, the first word, and I think this is the crucial word, is Ashrecha. Right? Ashrecha can be descriptive. You're so happy. So are we so happy? Not an easy question. On some level, many of us are. But maybe not all the time, and that's okay, that's probably very normal. But to take a step back and say, wait a second, am I really happy about being Jewish? Am I really happy living a life of committed Yiddishkeit? Am I really happy learning Torah? We should ask ourselves, do we feel Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha? And the truth is, today we have a lot of choices. It's interesting that my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Weinberger, so his father, Zichron Levracha, he talks a lot about his parents. So his mother's still living. She lives in Far Rockaway. And his father passed away about a year and change ago. His father was a Holocaust survivor from Hungary. And he was in some very bad places, including in Mauthausen, which was mamish from a very, very bad place during the war. He survived. They moved to America. And Rav Weinberger and his sister, they were raised. So his father once told him that he's amazed. They lived in Queens. He was amazed that he saw yeshiva boys walking down the street, going in to learn Torah in America. So he said, why is it so amazing? He said, he came from a small Hungarian town called Ungvar, and he learned in a place, several yeshivas, but he said in his place where they were learning, a lot of the boys, they had never been to a city. They came from some shtetl, they lived on a farm or wherever, they never saw a big city. He said there was a group of yeshiva boys. They ended up in Budapest. So Budapest was the big city in Hungary. You know where they ended up after they got there? They were walking around downtown for 5 minutes. They ended up in the red light district. That's where they were running. Because in their shtetl, that was not an option, you could say. So they never experienced that. So when they had the chance, they ran away. Sir Weinberger's father, Zichron Levracha, said, wow, how great is it that there are kids in America who choose to learn Torah when they have a lot of other options that we didn't have growing up, and they're choosing to learn Torah. But that comes from the feeling of Ashrei, that's something that we want. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves after we've been doing it for a long time. Are we really happy doing this? Or are we tired of this? If someone woke us up today, and he told us, the truth is, we have, and once in a while you have stories like this in the newspaper, we have genetic evidence that you're not who you thought you were. And in fact, you're actually not Jewish at all. So where would you go? What would we do? If a person feels Ashrei, Ashrecha, how fortunate we are, the first place they would probably run is to the CRC. They'd be like, can you get me a mile? And I'm running to the mikveh. You know what I mean? Like, on the other hand, if a person doesn't feel like that, they would probably be like, you know what? Let me take a couple weeks to think about this. Right? I'm not running so fast. But it's an important question we have to ask ourselves. And what are the life experiences that are shaping that? Right? There were times in our life that we probably felt, wow, super inspired, Asher Yoshev Veisecha. And then there were times we're like, well, this is not for me. So I think part of what the Rebbe is doing is challenging us to think about whether or not we really feel this sense of happiness and giving us something to aspire to. You know, one barometer of this, one way of thinking about this is that, you know, am I happy learning? Would I rather be somewhere else? If I'd rather be somewhere else, then it's not Ashrei Yoshevei Veisecha. I'm not really sitting here. I'd rather be somewhere else. It doesn't mean, and this is something that the Rebbe is going to talk about elsewhere, which hopefully we'll get to, it doesn't mean that every minute we're spent like nervous and we don't have time to relax and vacation, all these important things, and take care of all the things that need to be done. The question is, when we are learning, when we are davening, when we are connecting to Hashem, when we're doing a mitzvah, are we happy? And what's interesting is that on one hand, this question of happiness sometimes makes us uncomfortable because maybe we're not happy. On the other hand, it's important to address it because if a person is not happy in Yiddishkeit, you know where they might find themselves? Somewhere else. This is an important sefer, beautiful new sefer that Rav Weinberger encouraged me to get a hold of and start learning. It's called Bayom Darkecha. It's not written by a particular person. It's written by a group of guys in Yerushalayim who are students of a contemporary Torah personality. His name is Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern. He's known as Rav Itcha Meir. Rav Itcha Meir Morgenstern, he has a set of Svarim, and this is a group of guys. His Svarim are called Yam HaChachma. So Yam is Yud Mem, Yitzchak Meir. So a group of guys took those Svarim and then translated them in more easy-to-read language, more modern Hebrew, about basic things. So what's interesting, in the whole first introduction, the first out-of-the-box, the first comments of this sefer is about the importance of understanding Tamu Ru'u Ki Tov Hashem. How good it is to be a Jew. But not just good in the sense of theoretically it's a good thing to do. How it should be, you should be able to see and taste the goodness. We should feel good about it. We should feel happy to make Torah choices. And that's Hashem's Ratzon. Ratzon Hashem Yizvarach Shiyeh Lanu Simcha V'Tainug Misyachdu So Imo. We should enjoy the fact that we could spend quality time with Hashem. A few minutes during davening, a few minutes during learning. You do a chesed, you get up for moshe, whatever, you know. And he says, interestingly, if a person isn't zoche to enjoy their Yiddishkeit, it's what he calls sakana atzuma. It's dangerous. It's dangerous, especially in 2021, because we have lots of choices. And if a person doesn't feel like this is something... Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't a commitment, right? A person who's in a healthy, good, normal marriage, it doesn't mean that every day feels like Disney World. But at the end of the day, do you feel like you're happy? Are you Ashrei Yoshev Veisecha, a person who's in a good marriage? When they come home at the end of the day, they sit down, they feel Ashrei Yoshev Veisecha, thank God for this wife that I have. You know, and I wouldn't change it. Are there things that I can work on? Yeah, sure. But that feeling of, I'm happy doing this. I'm happy going on this life journey. Are we happy going on the life journey with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say, Ein od movado, there's nothing else. So that should be the ultimate happiness. The question is there a disconnect? There's a person who, I would say he's a friend of mine, but he's also a very big inspiration. His name is Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. So he was here recently. I had a chance to spend time with him. He's the head of the Smicha program. He's a rabbi of a shul in North Woodmere. So I'm very jealous of him because he still has a living grandfather, which is very unusual. He's older than I am. And his grandfather came from that place and was in both Auschwitz and Buchenwald. He lives in Israel. So he told an amazing story that he and his brother went to Israel, so they went to visit his grandfather. And they call him Zaidi, which is how I called my paternal grandfather, because that was a very, you know, Yiddish way of referring to a grandfather. Not Zaidi, Zaidi, like a Polish. So for somehow it came up, a discussion where one of them either asked him or he made a comment. You know, he's elderly now. And he has grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So somehow it came up, if he had to do it all again. If he had to do it all again. He said, to see what he sees, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, even great-great-grandchildren, who are Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, who connected to the Rebbe Shlomo, he says, without a question, he would do it all again. Because Asher Yoshev Eisecha. Doesn't mean it's all easy. Achman al-Nassan, a person who saw that, they saw, I mean, I can't even imagine anything worse than what that was. And yet, it's Asher Yoshev Eisecha. So I think that's maybe the key that the Rebbe wants to start with. That we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, am I happy? And now, just in the last few minutes, maybe one shorish of this happiness. Like, why am I feeling happy? Why should I feel happy? I have all these rules. I have all this stuff to do. I have so many obligations. Well, it all comes back. We know that Ein Od Mavado, everything in the world, it's all the Rotzon of the Rotzon, it's all the Rabbonu Shel Olam. And it's interesting that if you ask, like, the experts in happiness, like, there's a guy, he taught the most popular course in the history of Harvard. 1,600 students. It was called Happiness, Course on Happiness. Of course, an Israeli guy, so he knows how to make a few dollars teaching Harvard, get a lot of students. Baruch Hashem. His name is Tal Ben Shachar. So now he wrote 5 books, so he can make a few. Baruch Hashem, the Jews, you know, we figured it out. The guy goes to Harvard, 1,600 kids show up to his class. So how does he define happiness? The nexus of what he calls pleasure and meaning. Meaning, so to speak, a person can eat hamburgers all day, or nuovo, for those who like milk, as low as I know. You could eat, and you can have so much pleasure a whole day, but you're not going to necessarily find happiness. Happiness, the ki nekuda pnimis, is from meaning. Where does meaning come from? From the Rabbonu Shel Olam. Because when I exist in the Rabbonu Shel Olam's world, it means that I matter. Right? What is it that we all want at the end of the day? We just want to matter. We want our life to exist. We want to matter. It's okay. And so the Rabbonu Shel Olam gives us an opportunity. He says, when you wake up in the morning, you matter. And I think maybe at the deepest level of Yiddishkeit, that's all we're saying. That I'm a somebody. The Rabbonu Shel Olam thinks that I'm a somebody. And that's the core nekuda of Asher Yoshev Eisecha. So when I learn, when I daven, I'm coming back to that Ein Od Melvado nekuda, which maybe we should develop a little bit more. But it's this idea that we feel like we're happy. So I'll end with one story. There was a poor Yidla in Europe, a poor chassid, who, you know, he had a very big villa. It was all of one room, one hut where he lived. And as it was not uncommon, unfortunately, he comes back one day, he sees there's a little fire going on in the neighborhood, and he gets close and he sees his house burnt down, which took all of, you know, 4.5 minutes, because all of his earthly possessions were in this one hut. And a guy walks by and he sees him. He's like looking and he's chuckling a little bit and he's singing. And he's saying, Shelo Yosani Goy, Shelo Yosani Goy, Shelo Yosani. He's going on the niggin. So the guy walks by and thinks, Mom, she lost his mind. His whole house just burned down. The guy has a smile on his face. He says, are you okay? He says, ah, thank God. He says, you know, today I was doing business with a guy who in his house, he has a little setup there for his icon. With the cross and the whole thing, if his house burned down, it would be terrible for him. But I live with the Rabbonu Shel Olam, so my house burned down, so I still have my God. I don't have to worry; it didn't burn down in the house. Because Asher Yoshev Eisecha, I live in his house. He's Mekomo Shel Olam. But the Nekuda HaPnimis is this idea that we should feel and we should aspire to feel Asher, that we should feel happy about the fact that we have this opportunity to bring Yiddishkeit into our lives and to learn Torah every week. So we should have a good week and we should feel Asher Yoshev Eisecha.